Our scripture this morning is Luke 36 through 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." "Tell me, teacher," he said. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown, but whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Reading for us today, leading us in our worship service. So we have been talking about these five practices that help us to live on mission like Jesus, loving our friends and neighbors. The BLESS acronym for the five missional practices. Begin with prayer, listen, eat, serve, and share your story. These are the things that we do to model the life of Jesus and help people who are far from God make their way back to God. And the thing about these missional practices is they build on each other. So we begin by praying for people in our life, people that we want to see grow closer in their relationship with God, our friends, neighbors, our coworkers. And prayer helps us to start to notice people a little differently, changes our perspective on them and how relationship to them. And so we began to listen more intently to them. And then the day comes when perhaps we practice the easiest of the five practices, eating. That's what we're going to talk about this morning, is this missional practice of eating. And the reason we call it a spiritual practice is because sometimes one of the most spiritual things that we can do for somebody is to share a seat at the table with them. We come to this story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, when Jesus is eating in the home of this Pharisee man named Simon. Now, if Simon lived among us today, we might say that he would be considered a respectable, church-going, Bible-believing person. You know, in his house, he might have had some scripture verses hung on the walls for people to see when they came in. But he was no doubt a respectable man in his community, a religious leader. Now, meals in Jesus' day looked a little different than they do from ours. They didn't sit at tables upright in chairs with their feet tucked underneath the table. They reclined at a low table. It was probably only a few inches off of the floor. There would be pillows around the table. And they reclined with their heads toward the food, oftentimes propped up on an elbow, eating with one hand and conversing with their head in the other hand. And their feet would be stuck out away from the table behind them. That's important to know because of what happens next in the story. While they're eating, a woman who enters the house is carrying a small alabaster jar of oil. Luke tells us that she was known around town as a sinful woman. So she had a reputation too, but not for the same reasons of Simon the Pharisee. But everybody in town knew of her reputation. And she makes her way near the table where Jesus and the others are gathered around there eating. And she's weeping. She's crying. Her tears, they fall upon Jesus' feet. She lets down her hair and begins to wipe the tears off of his feet with her hair. She kisses his feet. And then she breaks open this alabaster jar and pours the oil all upon Jesus' feet. And as she's doing this, the people there are no doubt seeing what's happening. You can almost feel the discomfort in that room. I mean, imagine if somebody walked into your house and started doing something like that in the middle of a meal. You probably wouldn't let it go on as long as it did. But Simon, who's watching this whole thing, in his mind is this conversation that's going. He's thinking, if Jesus is a prophet and he really knew about this woman, her life, then there's no way he would be letting her touch him, making him unclean. But Jesus knows exactly who this woman is, and he knows exactly what Simon is thinking. And so he says to Simon, I have something to tell you. And he tells him this little story about someone who owed this man money, two people who owed this man money. One of them owes about a month's worth of wages. The other owed the man about a year's and a half salary. Neither one could repay the debt. And so the lender forgives both of the debts. And Jesus asked Simon, which one of them do you think loved him more? And Simon says, well, obviously it would be the one whose bigger debt was forgiven. And Jesus says, you're right, Simon. And then Jesus does something interesting. He turns to this woman that's behind him, but he speaks to Simon. And he says, do you see this woman? Do you see her? You know, that's really the question, isn't it, in the story? Because who did Simon see? He saw a sinful woman, a sinner. But who is it that Jesus notices? He sees a person. And then Jesus begins to point out the contrast. He says, Simon, when I entered your house, you didn't wash my feet. She washed them with her tears. You didn't greet me with a kiss, which would be like us shaking hands today or hugging when we greet our guests. Jesus says to Simon, you didn't offer that to me. But she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I walked or sat here at this table. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured her perfume out on my feet. Do you see what's happening? Simon invited Jesus to dinner at his house, but it was this woman who welcomed him. It was her who showed Jesus hospitality. Now, this is certainly a story with a lot of different layers of meaning to it, isn't it? We've heard a lot of sermons on this passage. It's certainly a story about forgiveness. It's a story about worship and our gratitude and a heart poured out in devotion to Jesus, which is something we'll get to experience tonight in our night of worship. We'll get to worship at the feet of Jesus. But this story is also about something that is central to the ministry of Jesus. We see it throughout the Gospels. Jesus made room for people. He showed hospitality to people. He made room at the table for them, just as they made room for Jesus. Because, you see, for Jesus, eating was something more than just sharing a meal. The table was a place where people experienced the grace of God. And this wasn't unusual for Jesus. Luke keeps showing us throughout his gospel how Jesus is at table with people, with Pharisees and tax collectors and the Matthews and the Levites and the Zacchaeuses, with the disciples, with all of the people that were a part of his world and his life. Jesus ate with people, all kinds of people. Some who knew they were far from God, like this woman, and some who didn't know that they were far from God, like this Pharisee. You see, biblical hospitality is not about entertaining. Entertaining says, look at what I've prepared for you. But hospitality says, see, I've made room for you. It's not about a perfect house or trying to impress people with fine dining or gourmet meals, but it's sharing what we have, and it's sharing who we are. It's about relationship. It's about sharing your table with someone, your life with them. You think about where does that kind of hospitality come from? The ability to be able to welcome people, to spend time with them and share our life with them. Where does that motivation come from? Notice what Jesus says in the story. He says, the one who is forgiven little loves little. Now, this woman could love Jesus extravagantly because she had experienced grace extravagantly. You see, that's the point Jesus is making here. When you know you've been welcomed by grace, then you start making room for other people. You start sharing that grace and love with them. And maybe that's why tables mattered so much to Jesus. On the night before he died, when Jesus wanted his disciples to understand what he was about to do for them, he gathered his disciples around a table, didn't he? He took bread and he said, this is my body given for you. And he took a cup and he said, this is my blood shed for you. The theologian N.T. Wright says, when Jesus himself wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory. He gave them a meal. You see, it's at the table that Jesus says, in effect, there is room for you. Here is forgiveness. Here is grace. Here is my life given for you. And that's what the table of grace offers. The table of Jesus offers us grace and gravy. Grace for a woman who's carrying secret sins and alabaster jars. Grace for Pharisees who carrying hidden judgments and critical spirits. He was at the table too. And there is grace for you and me with our imperfections. And there's grace for our friends and our neighbors. There's grace for us all. Grace to be received from God. Grace shared with somebody else over a meal. Something as simple as eating together. You know, I recently read a story that I think shows us what can happen when that grace moves from God to our own tables. Story about a man and woman, Brooke and Justin. They lived in a neighborhood, and this house next door to them had this revolving door to it. There were these people constantly moving in and out of this house. And so Brooke and Justin started praying that God would send neighbors that they could love and build relationships with, because when people are coming and going, you can't really get to know them. So eventually, there was another couple that moved next door, Lauren and Quentin. And Brooke and Justin, they extended welcome to them like they often did to the ones that lived there. They invited them over to their house for a cookout. And nothing dramatic happened during the cookout. They grilled hamburgers and ate those and sat in the backyard. They talked about work and sports and the restaurants they love to go to and just life in general. But through that came a friendship. Then Justin started to notice that his neighbors didn't have a lawnmower. And so every week when he cut his yard, he would just go over and cut their yard. Just started doing it. Nobody asked him to do it. He just did it. Eventually, Lauren asked Brooke, "Why are you guys like this? Y'all seem to be so different from other people that we've lived around. Why do you keep going out of your way for us, to welcome us?" And Brooke began to share with her about her faith in Christ. Later on, Quentin experienced a death in his family. He had an uncle that passed away, and he started wrestling with questions about God. So who did he turn to with those questions? Justin. Their friendship eventually gave Justin the opportunity to help lead Quentin to Christ. Think about how all of that started. Nobody knocked on their door carrying a Bible. Nobody launched into a presentation right off. But just naturally, through friendship, came the blessing of introducing Christ. Just sharing their story, how Jesus had made a difference in their life, what their motivations were for welcoming them and receiving them and serving them. You see, they prayed, they listened, they ate, they served, and eventually they got to share their story. And all of that started around a table. So here's your blessed challenge for this week. How many meals will you have? Well, most people have 3 meals a day, don't you? Most. Some have an extra one or two. 21 meals. Your challenge is to give one of them away. Pick one and give it away. Not to your best friend, not to the people you always eat with, but think about the people you're praying for. Think about someone you've been listening to, praying for this week, over the past weeks too. A neighbor, a coworker, a friend, another parent whose child goes to your school that maybe you've met in the last few weeks, someone who might be lonely, new in the neighborhood, someone who might feel like God is far away from them. Here's what I'd like you to say to them. Can we grab lunch together? Would you mind if you come over and we cooked hamburgers? Can we grab a coffee sometime? let's take our kids for ice cream after practice. You don't have to make it weird. Just go into the meal thinking, I'm just here to listen, to get to know this person, to build relationship with them, and see what God does, see where God leads. Just make room in your life for new friendships. Make room at your table. Make room in your schedule. Make room in your life. And trust that when followers of Jesus make room for people, it's in those spaces where the Lord oftentimes shows up in unexpected ways. And remember this, you and I have been given a place at the table of God's grace. We have received God's blessings in our life. Now it's time to make room for somebody else at our table and pass that blessing on to them. 21 meals, one table, just one person. Who are you going to invite to eat with you this week? That's the question I want us to close with and to take a few minutes to pray about. You received a card in your bulletin inviting you to write down a name. So I invite you to take that card out. It's got the little blue sticky note on it. It says, week 3, eat. And then at the top it says, this week I will invite someone. And if you look underneath, invite them to coffee or lunch or dinner or dessert. And I want you to prayerfully think about who you might extend that invitation to. And as we take a moment, Naomi's going to play and we're going to pray. And we're going to think about who God would have us to meet around the table this week. So let's take a few moments to think about that. Your name. Hope you wrote it down on your sticky note. And at the conclusion of the service, I want to invite you to come and place those on the board down front or at the one at the exit, just as a way of just lifting up a prayer for them this week and an opportunity to extend an invitation. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you have welcomed us all at your table. That we have received the abundance of your grace and forgiveness and love in our lives. Lord, you have given yourself to us, made a way for us to be in relationship with you. And Lord, I pray that as we open our hearts to you and to your abundant mercy and grace, that we would seek, Lord, to open our hearts to others around us. People that we love and care for, people that we desire to know more deeply, people we desire to share our faith with, and extend an invitation to join us at your table in our church. God, would you help show us how how we can deepen these friendships. And may you open the hearts of those in our lives that we're praying for. May you open them to you, Lord, that they may know the abundance of your love for them. So guide us this week to have these sacred moments where we might be a friend and be a blessing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.